Father, with this morning, we're before you. We're declaring what we believe. We believe in you. God, we love you. We worship you. We're gathered here today to remember your death and your resurrection. We're celebrating this morning that you were not just put on a cross and died and stayed in that grave, but that you rose again from the dead. Amen. That's amazing. Thank you for your victory over death. This morning we pray that we could see it, celebrate it, and declare it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning again. For those of you who weren't here earlier, you missed our baby dedications. Wonderful, wonderful time. This morning, of course, is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And we're going to talk this morning about divine declarations. I like declarations. This week, I had a chance to declare something, which is good. Here's a picture of me and my wife. We are celebrating our 31st anniversary. How about that? Okay. And the reason why we're holding champagne glasses is because our champagne anniversary. I didn't know this until my daughter-in-law told me. When your anniversary date, ours is March 31st, write that in your calendars for the future. Ours is March 31st, and it happens to be our 31st year. So it's kind of like 31 and 30. So Nigel, oh no, sorry, you're probably beyond it, right? It's okay, you can make it up. And you know what? I love declarations like this because they speak something. They speak a lot of truth. You know, what we could have done is just dismiss the whole thing. Oh, you know, 31 years, big deal, who cares? You know, we're getting older. We're not old, we're getting older. But, you know, maybe this is just old hat by now. We don't need to do these things. And I think you miss something when you do those kind of things. It's good to recognize and to celebrate these kind of things. Let me give you a couple of points. When we declare, when we celebrate like this, we declare our love for one another, our appreciation for one another. We're also declaring that the vows we made 31 years ago, they still hold. And it says this, Deb, I would do it again. I would do it again. That's a declaration we're making. And I think, you know, as I said earlier, it's possible that when we do these kind of yearly things, that we just take it for granted because it keeps coming up over and over again. But it's a chance for us to make something of it. And it's the same with this weekend every year in our calendar. It's Good Friday, it's Easter Sunday, and do we just take it for granted? Do we just dismiss it like, oh, it doesn't really matter? It really matters. And if it doesn't matter to us, I hope by the end of this morning you can say, it now matters to me. Because I'll tell you something, it mattered to God. Yeah. And if it matters to God, it really should matter to us. So let's have a look. This morning, we're, you know, obviously it's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and we're kind of focusing on the death and resurrection of Jesus. I want to highlight the declarations that God made about those two things. You know, you might ask, well, why is this thing so important in the first place? You know, maybe you're here this morning, you've never really heard the story about Jesus, and it's kind of, you're not aware of really what the whole story was, but consider this. As the Bible opens, as it begins, there's a story of Adam and Eve being created, and shortly after they were created, they disobeyed God, and sin entered into the world. And what is really important for us to see, and this is why death and resurrection is so important, is because sin and death got hold of us. The power of sin and its ultimate conclusion, death, got hold of us. Now think about it. Sin is powerful. every one of us has struggled with impure thoughts, evil thoughts. Every one of us has spoken hurtful things. And every one of us has done things we should not have done. And you know, it's a really interesting thing because if you look at the arc of history, you realize no matter how many times God gave mankind, human beings, a restart, guess what happened? Same thing. Why? Because there is something called the power of sin and death that is dominating our lives. The only answer is what God would provide. Think about history. Freedom didn't work. We always return. You give everybody freedom, and still sin and death has its way. You give everybody a law, a code to operate by, and still people are affected by sin and death. Sacrifices, you think about those in the Old Testament, they didn't work. Well, let's set up a nation with a king and a temple. They didn't work either. What should we get from this? Sin and death are powerful. Sin and death are powerful. And there is an answer. There needs to be a death that breaks the power of sin and death. And unless there's a death that breaks that power of sin and death, you and I will never be released from the bondage and slavery we have to it. Let's talk about the death of Christ. Because the death of Christ is a public declaration. You realize he was on open display for everybody to see? You know, like, he could have been killed in an alleyway. Could have been done in total secret. Why did God want it to be done in an open way for everybody to see? He is making some declarations, divine declarations. And look at this picture. I know, you know, for those of you who have a queasy stomach, please don't look at it too long. And I think, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, Ian, why are you showing pictures like that? Do you understand how gruesome your sin is? Look at that picture. You get a good idea of how horrible, how terrible sin is. And it's depicted in the kind of gruesome death that Jesus had to die. It's serious. You know, like today we live in a society where, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. There's no such thing as sin. And what's sin to you is not really sin to me. And we kind of weigh it in the balances and try to figure out, well, you know, not in my culture, but in your... Come on. Sin is sin. It is, that death was gruesome because your sin, my sin, are horrible. They're evil and they hurt God. A dreadful death had to take place. Secondly, when Jesus was on the cross, the first 3 hours, there was a lot of mocking and a lot of things going on by people. The last 3 hours, there was darkness. And that's interesting. That is God also making a declaration. Isn't it interesting? God has not spoken one word, but he's declaring. He's declaring to let us know how evil our sin is. He's declaring with the darkness to let us know something. He says, I'm judging sin. I'm judging sin. And while Jesus is on the cross and in all of that darkness, he cries out to God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, Jesus experienced separation from God because all the sin of mankind, all the sin from the beginning of time to the end has been laid on him. And while God is looking at him, he has to turn his back. And Jesus is crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The darkness is a clear declaration that God is judging sin. While Jesus was on the cross, this is not a declaration by God. Of course, we know Jesus is God, but in John chapter 19, Jesus utters these words, speaks these words, "It is finished." The job that Jesus came to do, the unraveling, the restart that we really needed, was finished. No other restart matters. He's declaring the purpose for his coming was completed. The task was done. I'll give you one last declaration made concerning the death of Jesus Christ. Many of us are aware that at that time there was a temple, and the temple was where people gathered, and the temple had a number of sections, and the most holy section was covered by a veil. There was a veil or a curtain hanging from the top to the ground, and that was kind of called the most holy place. And that's where God's presence was. Interesting. When Jesus died, that veil, that curtain, was torn from top to bottom. That is surely a declaration for you and I. That death of Jesus on the cross has now gotten rid of any barrier between us and God. We can go to him at any time. And basically, what is he saying? The debt is paid. God would say, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with that death. So think about it. His death, by Jesus' death, sin is over. And God would say, come to me. Come to me. Let's go to the resurrection. Because sometimes we miss these two things. We don't put them together, and we really ought to put them together. Death and resurrection are a package. So in the resurrection of Christ, we also have a declaration. Think about this. The stone was rolled away from the tomb. Now, I got some verses here which are interesting, because this is the account of Mary and the other sisters as they're walking up to the gravesite. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who's going to roll that stone away? We can't possibly do it. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. I love this. That is a divine declaration from God. It's like, they know what's ahead of them, and they're trying to figure it out. How's this going to happen? And God says, do you know what, ladies? You don't have to worry about it anymore. You can come right in. It's like right on the tomb, there's like open house. Come on in. See for yourself. He's not here. What a declaration from God. As they entered in, you know, different accounts say different things, but I'm just going to pick up what Luke says in chapter 24. The angels were there, and they said to Mary and the other women, Why are you seeking the living among the dead? There's another declaration. You think he's dead. He's not dead. If the grave, you know, if the stone being rolled away wasn't enough for you, the angels are there and telling you, he's not here. He's not dead. This man who you think is dead is actually living. Of course, then in Mark chapter 16, in verse 6, we find out that his body is gone. Of course, we know that. His body is gone. He conquered death. Do you see that? Nobody has conquered death. It's amazing. It's not just, okay, we have an empty tomb. That's wonderful. They're grave clothes. That he conquered death. The death that had held us from the very beginning. Think about it. His death nullified sin. His resurrection said, it's over. You don't have to remain in death anymore. Some of you say, yeah, but Ian, I'm going to die. That's right. For sure. We're all going to die one day. That's to be morbid, but for sure. But we won't remain dead. We have a Savior who has overcome death. That's why we believe in Him. Wonderful. What a declaration. Okay. Let me move away from the actual event, and I want to talk a little bit just about what the apostles said about this event afterwards, because they have a few things to say as well, and I think they are just as important, and I believe they are divine declarations as well. Let me point you to Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. It says, Men of Israel, this is Peter, the apostle speaking, he says, Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up. And if I can highlight just this one thing for you, men killed Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. And you've got to look at the evaluations here on this thing. The evaluations that men had concerning this man was, he's a cult leader. He's a madman. He's like insurrection. There's all kinds of things that's going on with this man. We gotta stop him. He's interfering with our religion. We got to stop him somehow. Those are the kind of evaluations and rejections that people had. Do you understand? They rejected every claim, every promise, every word that he said. That's man's evaluation. What's God's evaluation? He doesn't care about your evaluation, to be quite honest with you, because if it was based on your evaluation, he'd still be in the grave. God says, that is my son. And by raising him from the dead, God is taking a big stamp, a big check mark and saying, see, what he said, what he did, what he promised, it's all true. I didn't leave him in the grave. I rose him. I raised him from the grave. Jesus said this. I want you to think about this morning. I am the way to God. That's a bold statement. I am the way to God. I am the way to God. That's his bold statement. Those are his words. That's his claim. And that's his promise. I am the way to God. Maybe for some of us this morning, it's time for us to reconsider. Maybe it's time for us to reconsider his words, his promises. Who are you lining up with? Man's evaluation or God's evaluation? It's important. It's really important. I know the age we live in, age of skepticism. I wonder if you're here today and you feel like you've got your mind already made up. I got this whole Jesus thing figured out. I don't even know why I'm here this morning. I tell you, I know exactly why you're here this morning. You're here this morning because God is trying to help you to see that there's something more than what your mind is allowing you to see. There is a man who died for your sin. There is a man who rose again from the dead and conquered death. That's God's evaluation, not man's evaluation. And I wonder what your response would be. What is your response to the death and the resurrection of Jesus? What is your response to the evaluation of God when it comes to Jesus? Tim Keller has a quote I think is helpful. It says, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. Amen? Some would be like, whoa, wait a second. He said some crazy things. But it's true. If he rose from the dead, that means God is really happy with what he did. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teachings, but whether or not he rose from the dead. And the fact is, he rose from the dead. And so now you and I have got to do some reconsidering. He said a lot of things. He promised a lot of things. Romans 4:25 is a very interesting verse. And again, the Apostle Paul mentioned this. He said, Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses. That's him going to the cross and dying for our sins. And he was raised for our justification. The work that Jesus did is complete. And it's a declaration. This is a declaration. The penalty has been paid. Guilt has been removed. Jonathan Edwards has this to say. If Christ were not raised, it would be evidence that God was not yet satisfied for our sins. Wow. Now the resurrection is God declaring his satisfaction. If God is satisfied, why are you not satisfied? Don't hold on to that mindset. Don't hold on to that skepticism. Don't hold on to that stuff that's got you, you think you've figured it out. And, you know, that pride now is causing you to rise up and think you're so self-righteous. Don't get into that trap. If God raised him from the dead, that's him declaring, I'm satisfied. And if God is satisfied, you and I can be satisfied. He therefore declared that it was enough. Let me ask you a question. How many of you could raise your hand this morning and say, Ian, I'm absolutely clear. I have been born again and I am saved by Jesus. Amen. That's good. See, this is a good time to raise your hand. Those of you who didn't raise your hands, I'd like to share a verse with you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through what? Oh my goodness. How do you, you know, like we all know the verse, right? We all know the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. Believe, have eternal life. How do you know that works? Peter is telling us, you know that you are born again. You know that that believing that you have done is going to be effective because God raised him from the dead. When you pray a prayer, when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you can be assured that that is going to be answered, and the fact will be you are born again. You are born a second time. Not born of your parents, flesh of the flesh, but spirit of the spirit. Some of us in this room need that this morning. We need that second birth. And I just feel like this verse alone should tell you. You can be assured if you trust in him, it will happen. The power of sin and death that is holding over your life will be broken once and for all. One last verse that I'll give you before we close. I like these verses. I like a lot of verses, but I really, specifically today, I like these verses. How many of you like to boast? I didn't think so. Not one hand. Whew. You really do. But anyway, never mind. You boast in subtle ways. It's okay. Look at my beautiful granddaughter. Oh, no, I'm just pointing out the fact. Look at this verse. I love the way that Paul ends a whole chapter on resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 says, hey, death. This is my interpretation. Hey, death. Where is your victory? You know that victory you had over me? Gone. Where is it? It's kind of like, you know, for the young people, it's kind of like trash talking. It's like the Apostle Paul trash talking and saying, hey, death, you're not as big, you're not as dominant, you're not as powerful as you think you are. Hey, death, where's your victory? And oh, death, where is that sting? You know that sting that you've been hitting people with for generation after generation? Where is the sting? The fact of the matter is, because of what Jesus Christ has done, there is victory over death. The sting that was once there is gone. So what do we find out? Simple. The reign of death is over. I like it. I love this thought. The resurrection of Jesus is a verifiable and historical fact. It's not an illusion. It's not merely metaphorical. It's not a nice ending to a sad story. It's a real fact. What will you do with that fact? There are a lot of divine declarations that we've pointed out this morning. What are you going to do with all that? I mean, is it just like, I'll just dismiss it like I could have dismissed my wedding anniversary and said, oh, it doesn't matter, we've been doing this long enough. Or if in your case, it's like, oh, I've heard this so many times, again, really? What will you do with the fact? It's a really important fact. I'd like to ask those of you who are believers this question. Are you a knower of the fact? Or are you a declarer of the fact? Because it's really important. It's really important to know the difference. Many of us in this room, we could say, oh yeah, I got it, Ian. I could have given the message way better than you, and you probably could. Knowing doesn't help you that much. That's not necessarily what God is all, talking to us about. He's talking about, hey, I declared it. How about you declare it? In fact, that's exactly what he told his disciples at the end of his time on the earth. He said, go and disciple the nations, teaching them. Brothers and sisters, how about us? Are we declarers or are we just knowers? Who are you declaring to? Or has this just become, I've been doing this Christian thing now for a good number of years. I've had a couple of disappointments when I've told people about Jesus. And so you just pack it in. But the facts remain. This is the way for people's lives to be changed. This is the way for people to come out from underneath the power and the dominion of sin and death. For those of you who are not saved, let me challenge you a little bit. Have you responded? Have you responded to Jesus? Have you dismissed it? Maybe it's time this morning for you to reconsider. Reconsider your thoughts of who Jesus is. Reconsider what he said and what he did. And this may be the morning for you where you would be saved. This is an important decision for you to make. The facts back your decision to be saved. Maybe something in your heart right now is kind of prompting you, encouraging you, this is your time. That's God encouraging you. Do this. Let your life be turned over to me. I will break the power of sin and death in your life, and you will be born again, and you will begin to live a new life. It's your response. I can't make you. God can't even make you. For some reason, he brought you here this morning, and this probably is the reason he brought you here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask everybody just to bow your heads, close your eyes. And if you are here this morning and you feel like this is my time, I've heard everything this morning and I want to respond, I want you to pray these words together with me. In fact, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask everybody just to follow me in this prayer. And that way you can speak these words out as well. Here we go. Dear God, I am a sinner. I have been running from you. And I don't want to run anymore. I believe in the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, you are satisfied. I want to be satisfied. And so right now, I'm asking you, forgive me of all of my sin and come and be my Savior. Enter into my heart. I want you. I receive you. Hallelujah. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time and you feel like God was encouraging you to do it, I really, really want to talk to you. Not right now, but I do want to talk to you. I want to just encourage you. Please seek me out. I'm going to probably hang out somewhere in this area here. It's important, not only that you prayed, it's important that you let others know. Start your declaration. So, the reign of sin and death are over. That's what this morning is all about. The power and control and domination are over. What a God we have. What a declaration. Aren't you happy with your God? He is awesome. Let me just pray and we will finish off for this morning. Father God, just thank you so much for what you have spoken to us this morning. Thank you for confirming our faith. Thank you for helping us again to see the power of the death of your Son. Thank you for helping us to see the power of your Son's resurrection and what it meant to you. We're here this morning in awe, knowing that we have believed and we are following after you. Pray as we go from here this morning that we could live lives that declare the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been raised together with him. Father, we thank you for everything that you have done, and we pray you would bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah, isn't that good? My God is good. Woo! God is good. We are going to have a really crucial announcement. Del, you're gonna do it.
Okay, a few announcements. Quick. For your home meetings this week, if you look on your insert, make sure you, if you don't have one, there's some more at the back. The questions are related to Haggai, not the message today. If you're wondering if that was a mistake, no, it wasn't a mistake. That was planned. Okay, so these are for your home meetings this week. The other announcement is related to what you have in the bulletin, and that's concerning this marriage enrichment retreat. You may wonder, why? My marriage is just fine. Well, how about be more than fine? You know, I've been in the last number of years a bit more delving into this matter of marriage and so forth, especially because I wanted to help couples have a good marriage beginning. And so the more I studied it, the more I realized, you know, there's a lot of things that I didn't know. And after being married so many years, I thought, I guess I'm a slow learner. Anyway, this weekend is designed for couples who are married and would like to enrich their marriage. I'm not saying you have to have problems. In fact, if you've got real problems with your marriage, this is probably not a good weekend to come to. See me about that later. So there's a few things we're going to cover in that weekend. Some secrets of a satisfying marriage relationship. Developing good communication skills. Coping with stress and conflict. Understanding and meeting the needs of your spouse. And among other things, and finally, we're going to just have a lot of fun. If you want to come to this weekend, the dates are here, June 5th to 7th. Please see me. The spaces are limited because the facility has limited spaces at this time. If this weekend doesn't work for you and you wish it'd be a different weekend, please let me know that as well, because we may have a second one, okay? It's going to be held at a conference center about an hour and 15 minutes north of here. It's Friday night, all day Saturday, and Sunday through till noon. If you're interested and want to know more about it, please contact me. My phone number is there. I'm here. You can call me, text me, talk to me, whatever. It's first come, first serve, so once it's filled up, then you have to wait for the next one, okay? Lastly, we're going to have lunch together. If you're able to stay, please join us. Even if you didn't bring something and you can stay, please join us. Let me pray for lunch, and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son's resurrection. We rejoice that he has been raised from the dead. He is a resurrected Christ that we believe in, and we long to see him in his resurrection. Lord, we pray for our lunchtime together. Thank you for the fellowship we can have together. Bless the food we are about to eat. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord be with you.